Systems initiated. You're listening to the Empire Podcast Network.
As an actor, I made a career out of surviving personal and family dramas on daytime television. Now, in real life, I've also had my fair share of challenges, just like everybody else. But TV and film can be a nice escape from our own daily struggles. But let's face it, life is not TV and film. Yeah. It's time to keep it real. With Real Conversations with Jacob Young, sponsored by Boys Town.
My guest this week first became a household name as a finalist on American Idol. Among his many stage appearances, he's received a Tony nomination for his role in Broadway's mega hit, Rock of Ages, and a Drama League nomination for his return to Broadway in the musical Jekyll and Hyde. Music is his life, and he's currently touring with the tribute band Foreigner's Journey. And in 2020, he released his first full-length studio album in over a decade, Until I'm Wanted. Now, in addition to his many honors for his philanthropy, he's also added a disc jockey to a long list of his accomplishments. He's even in the Guinness Book of World Records. And my guest this week is a man for the ages, Constantine Maroulis. You know what time it is. It's time to keep it real on Real Conversations with Jacob Young. It is sponsored by Boys Town. Constantine. What, dude, what's up, man? Thanks for joining me.
Look at you, the ageless wonder right there before my very eyes. How's it going, man? It's been too long.
It's going good, man. How's it getting back on the road again?
You know, obviously, it's been a tough couple years all around for everybody. Our industry, certainly our community on Broadway. But, you know, it extends really across the globe. You know, it's been a tough time. But, you know, circle the wagons, get my kid through the day, keep my family safe. And yes, to get back to work has been amazing, you know. But I have to say, you have to work back up to it. All of a sudden, they're putting like 2-3-nighters in a row together. And I'm like, let's chill out, okay? I got to shake off the cobwebs a little bit here. Relax. Well, but, we got a little excited, the promoters and the people, and maybe put a little too many shows on the books. And I hope there's no more stoppages. But, dude, thank you. It's so good to get back to just playing again.
Yeah, man. I could only imagine. And you know, but that didn't stop you because you were doing some quarantine shows as well.
You know, you have to just keep it rolling, right? And I think at first, man, it's the sky is falling. And then, like I said, you just sort of get back to basics and circle the wagons. I have a 10-year-old now who just started fifth grade. So getting her through the distance learning, keeping us safe. You know, we live out in the suburbs now outside of New York City, and so grateful for the awesome teachers and amazing school system we're in. That's what you pay for around here. Thank yeah. you. And like I said, you know, getting her through the day, having that schedule was a nice thing. Getting her up in the morning, getting her motivated to sign in and just, you know, still stay on her trajectory as a student. And thankfully sports didn't really
stop, right?
Didn't really stop around here. At least, you know, we lost like the indoor element, really getting to train in the very cold winter months indoors, but they had the girls outside, like with snow on the ground, you know, doing soccer, and we had tennis. And thankfully the tennis, you know, it's like this insane, like sky dome type of facility. So as long as they stayed within certain protocols, we were still able to train. So that was nice, you know, like just having her that on that schedule. And then you start to put some work things together, right? A stream show, well, a video with some friends.
It's amazing what technology has really done with you could play with your band over, you know, online. Know. You know, I was started doing a show on, it was on YouTube, but it was live. I would go live and people, I would try to book guests, and like, I'd have press agents going, Well, you're going to fly them out. I'm like, no, we're going to do this online. And then COVID hit and it was like, well, Jacob was the front burner. I was doing it live and now everybody's doing it. But it's amazing how far it came even from then when it was a necessity. And I want to share a little bit. Are you still there?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to share a little bit, just a little clip of what you were doing covering some Van Halen. It was so good. Hold on. Dude, I don't think Sammy can sing it that good.
Thank you. You know, that is a video I did with the band Geeks. They are exactly that. These bunch of Long Island guys, all amazing musicians from different great bands. And they have this YouTube channel, Richie Castellano. He tours with, oh my God, why am I forgetting? A great 80s band. Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh.
And so this is his channel and they do all these insane videos. So they asked me to do a couple. I did that one. And I think I did Photograph Def Leppard with them. So you can check out their channel. I've tried to curate a YouTube channel over the years. It's so hard, dude. You know, you have to do it like every day. If I was doing this, like from day one of American Idol, maybe. But it's just so hard. So I think I have a channel, but I'd rather be on other people's channels because they have much more traffic.
Sure. Dude, you're a proud Greek American and you've received many, many honors for your charitable works in the Greek community. How important is it for young people today to embrace their heritage?
Man, it's been everything to me. It's just what I am. It's what I breathe. It's what I do. Obviously, I think the Greeks really came to the full pop culture, forefront with a movie like Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Sure.
But I think we all get to the sort of cliches and stereotypes and that no matter what family we're from. But for me, yeah, you know, I was born in New York City, well, in Brooklyn, and I grew up in New Jersey. So when I moved here in the 80s, you know, it was tough because I moved to this very affluent, very white bread neighborhood. And great town, but I was different than everybody else. Now, imagine what someone like very different might experience. So for me, it's about, you know, finding out who you are. My grandparents came here over 100 years ago and their, you know, grandson, who I didn't really get to know them very well. They were gone really when I was so young, made it on Broadway, made it on American television, makes music, you know, has a wonderful daughter, you know. So for me, like that is so important. My grandfather came here on New Year's Eve 100 years ago, last New Year's, with change in his pocket. And he built a family, built a business, and
the American dream.
The American dream, man. So yeah, it's crucial, you know, and it's fun now with the internet and connecting with weird relatives all the world. And even, you know, as you, I'm sure, like, Jacob, you're my cousin, Jacob Young.
Yeah,
I am
sure.
Jacob Young,
yeah, sure.
From Bulgaria and, or whatever. And, all these like European cousins you have. And, but 23andMe is really fun. I don't know if you guys have done that.
I'm not into dating sites.
Exactly. 23. That sounds great. I'll take it.
23andMe?
23. Plus me. Yeah. And my sister did it on both sides. And honestly, she traced us back like 400 something years. And somehow my weird family never really left like one very concentrated area of Greece. You know, there was like one African guy here. There was one like Asian guy over there. Northern European woman jumped in the mix. But that's what we are, man. And it's good stuff.
Well, I have to say, I have a lot of Greek friends, especially, I lived in New York for over a decade and the culture is amazing. The dances, I mean, like the traditions, like I've been to Greek weddings, of course. I mean, like, of course, Big Fat Greek Wedding, you mentioned that, but I've been physically, thrown into those dances. And I'm going, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing, but having the time of my life, unreal.
It's a zest for life. It's a celebration of life. You know, we say this, when we lose people, we say Zoisa Mas, which is really long life to us that are left, because we get one time around, you know, and it's so important to celebrate every day with like life, and just, that's why we break plates, you know. It's just an expression of love, and really just an exuberance for life, for sure.
I mean, full of life. I've had, what is that? The grappa? Is it, no, wait, what do you guys drink? Is it grappa?
Yeah. Well, no. There's that, but there's like ouzo.
Ouzo. Or yeah. Yeah.
Metaxa. So yeah, it's like the licorice kind of taste.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll get you twisted. You drink, you know what? I don't drink anymore. It's like two now, but you would also have some bottle of ouzo laying around, because you can never really like get too into it. But if you drink a little slowly, like on ice, and you just like let the ice melt a little, and you're just kind of maybe over a writing session, just a little sip here and there, dude, there's some weird stuff that happens. It's a different kind of high or whatever, you know. We know what brown liquor, white liquor, and beer does. This does something else. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's crazy.
It's tasty. I've had plenty of it. Now, dude, you first came into living rooms around the country competing on American Idol, of course.
Yeah.
How did you mentally cope with the pressure of being in the national spotlight? It's such an intense competition.
Man, it was so surreal. You know, truly, I had graduated a prestigious conservatory for acting and music. I had toured in already. So, you know, remember, we weren't really using the internet like we do today in 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006. Like we were using it, but it wasn't obviously the same tool as it is today. So for me, I needed a gig. You know, I was not going to be coming back to Rent. They let me know that they weren't renewing my contract. They were bringing in another new young cast. You know, we had been touring all around the world. I was playing in my band. I thought I was cool. And I'm good. I'll get back to New York. Maybe they'll put me in the New York production before it, you know, closes. I'll get my next Broadway show. You know, you're just kind of putting the pieces together. I put myself through Boston Conservatory, Berklee College of Music, all that stuff. Paid my dues. I had heard of American Idol. They had 3 seasons. But again, like I had been on tour. I was at conservatory. I didn't watch it, and I didn't really catch up on it with the internet. I knew who like Kelly Clarkson was, and Fantasia and such, and you know, Guarini and Clay and Ruben. Of course, they were like such a part of the pop lexicon that it was like hard not to know like what it is, and like Simon and stuff. And of course, I grew up with Paula Abdul, not with her, but like her music in the 90s. And so I was like, yeah, let's go. I need a job. So really, when I went for it, it was kind of like before I booked Rent. Do you remember they used to have those massive open calls for Rent, like in different cities?
Oh, yeah.
And it was a big effing deal. And I was on a couple of those, like with friends, and, you know, they never cast anyone from them. They're basically big publicity stunts. But I had had that experience. I had had preparatory experience, like standing in front of mean workers would cut you up, you know, and all this. And so I just went for it. Like I needed a job. I needed a gig. And I think experience, and I was a little older, if you remember, just played into the whole thing. Now, nothing prepares you for 30 million people a night, like 3 nights a week for like January to June. You know, it was demented. It was on like every night. It was crazy. Nothing prepares you for that. But I did feel like I had like some experience where it felt like an extension of what I was doing. I wasn't like plucked out of the mall, if you know what I mean,
right?
Which other kids were, or the farm. So for me, I just tried to always make it like a job interview, and they wouldn't let me do back then a lot of what I wanted to do. Cause even big artists, they were like, no, we don't want them to do our song. No, no, no. So, and then they started to catch on a little bit, but For me, yeah, I knew I wasn't beating Carrie Underwood, but if I could get as far as I could probably turn it into an opportunity on Broadway or Tickers or...
Well, you certainly did. And speaking about Broadway, it's just now reopening after a historical shutdown over a year. And you're practically a Broadway institution. You have the character in Sardi's, of course, for our listeners that don't know what that is like the famous restaurant that if you get your iconic photo drawn in this restaurant, you have absolutely made it on Broadway. What does that mean to you growing up in the New York area to have made it on Broadway?
Well, it means everything to me, to be honest. And I've seen you there as well. And you know what it feels like to walk into those theaters and those ghosts and that energy and that smell. And, you know, walking from your apartment to the theater on a beautiful fall day or spring afternoon, or playing Broadway softball with everyone, and the camaraderie and the community and seeing the crew. I mean, it gives me chills thinking of it. You know, there's just nothing like it. We've both been on massive projects. There's really just nothing like it. I don't know how to really articulate it, whether it's a, you know, and people don't realize the theaters aren't very, they're not huge.
No.
In fact, you play bigger theaters on the road when you're touring a Broadway show, much, much bigger, 2,000, 3,000 seaters. Broadway is like 1,000 seats, which is still a lot of people. Some are bigger than that, 1,500. A lot of them are like 800, 900. And that intimacy, that energy, the repeating it every night, and it, but it's yet a different journey. It's everything.
It really is.
To be recognized by my community is everything. And, you know, my dream, it was my dream. It really was my dream. And it continues to be. I did this casting meeting, whatever you want to call it, about a new thing even last night. So I'm still hungry for the next new thing as well. I lift my community up with love. I'm so happy everyone's getting back to work. I've gotten to produce as well. So I know what it takes to put these shows together. Our investors that stay committed, that believe in us and what we're doing and the creators, to really help us through this really horrible time. I put out a song yesterday, As Long As You're Mine from Wicked, Ant's version with Kendra Erica. She's like this, yeah, you know, dance, Billboard chart topping artist. And we put out like this dance version of As Long As You're Mine, and people seem to love it. So that was kind of fun with the Wicked opening. And, I can't wait to get back.
Well, and speaking of that dream, you received the Broadway Beacon Award for your support of the theater, the arts, the education for young people. What can all of us do to help inspire young people today in the arts?
Yeah. Well, it's everything, you know, and it's usually the first thing to go in school systems. You know, and that's a shame. I had such wonderful teachers growing up. I mean, I played sports, you know, and I was into school. But the arts taught me something just so invaluable, something that apply in anything in life. And, you know, I think young people are so consumed, even more than ever, even more than my American Idol days, with fame and followers and influence and likes and pictures, and take pictures of themselves, and that sort of hot or not, I don't know, that mentality that's out there that is dangerous. It's dangerous. I get it. I have to like promote my shows and stuff, but I'm an old fart, you know, like for young people, focus on get better today, get better tomorrow, and get on stage. You know, it's not about getting the lead in every show, you know, because I had good teachers. They didn't make me the lead, even though I probably could have been the lead in pretty much every show from when I was young. I needed the confidence. I needed the experience. I needed to learn from the back to the front, watch from the ensemble. The older kids do it much better than me. And that learning experience was everything. And I encourage the arts, because even if you don't become, you know, Jacob Young or Constantine and get to do film and TV and all of this, what you learn from the community is so applicable to everything in life. It's just like sports. Like, dude, we're not going to be Tom Brady, but you know, you play until the wheels fall off because there's something about it, the teamwork that you learn, and you can apply it in anything in life. And when stuff like the pandemic or whatever obstacle comes your way, like you can handle it mentally.
That is such great advice, man. And thank you for sharing that. Tell us about the Constantine Maroula show, because Saturday Night rocks on WABC.
Well, I got to have you on eventually. You know, it just sort of came about. I grew up with WABC, legendary call letters, New York City. You know, my father used to listen to Bob Grant, legendary talk show host, even on the AM radio in the garage, would be tweaking the cars or messing with the lawnmowers or whatever. I grew up with Yankee baseball on WABC, pop radio as well with Cousin Brucey and whatnot. So to get an opportunity with Red Apple Media to host my own show, and they basically just let me do whatever I want, which is nuts. You don't want to do that with me and give me a live microphone. But so far, so good. I'm a few months in. Contract up soon, so I'm hoping that we can work out something and I could stay for a long time. But it's been a blast. So every Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Eastern, we do a rock and roll show, but we do a little of everything. We talk pop culture, we talk Hollyweird, Broadway, certainly, lots of sports, fun stuff. I've had great guests. I have Blues Traveler on the show this week. I've had the Spin Doctors. I've had Peloton stars, Debbie Gibson, Lisa Loeb, you know, Mark McGrath is on an upcoming show, and Sugar Ray. So, and I play whatever I want, a little of everything, like the soundscape of my life, 70s, 90s, just on a real 90s week. You know, I loved all those jam bands of the early 90s, like Fish and God Street Wine. Just a full jam, bro.
Just a jam session.
I try to find like the radio cut, if you know what I mean.
There was another 10 minutes to this song, but we're going to go ahead and cut this short.
Yeah. Let's fade it out. Ooh, Fish. Okay, Fish. Yeah. All right.
Take it down. So you just released last year your first studio album in over a decade. Tell us about Until I'm Wanted.
I've always been a songwriter. I so enjoyed putting out my first record, you know, just a little bit after the American Idol thing. I put it out on my own label at Sony, this thing I called Sixth Place Records. And, you know, people really loved it. I toured it for many years, but then I really just got so engulfed in the Broadway thing and more acting that I was kind of doing other people's songs and being a purveyor of tunes. And I love that as well, telling those stories. And we're been such a great like covers kind of trend right now with postmodern jukebox and all the TikTok stuff of people doing other people's tunes but doing them their own way, and you see it all over, you know, commercial and film sort of sinks, like just all kinds of covers, and I love that. But I had so much to say. You know, I went through a rough time with my daughter's mom over the last few years, and we're in such a good place now, co-parenting. And I had a lot to write about. And Until I'm Wanted, it's sort of always been my motto, you know, that sort of don't stop believing, lack of a, you know, better sort of phrase, mentality. Just look, I'm going to keep going until I'm wanted. You know, I didn't win. I came in sixth. I'm the underdog. I didn't win the tone, you know, so it's like, I'm going to keep grinding. So this collection of songs, it's like my love letter to rock and roll, and I'm very happy about it. And I'm getting to play some solo shows again. I've been really touring with Foreigner's Journey, this big classic rock show I do, like you had mentioned before, thank you. Sort of an extension of Rock of Ages. It's a real celebration of Foreigner and Journey, and we mix in some fun stuff. Tonight, we have this big Rock of Ages encore and these dancers coming out, and tomorrow night. And so there's some fun stuff. Great shows coming up. A Bergen Pack in New Jersey on the September 25th is a big show for me. So.
First of all, I love that venue. I used to live in Englewood.
Right.
I mean, I lived there for a while. That's a great theater.
Man, and they're doing. Thank you. Yeah, you know, they're that gorgeous marquee and the neon, and there's so many gems like that. And I feel like they're starting to all kind of come back, which is cool. They have great, great shows there. They also have a great performing arts program there, which I love. And it's a big spot. They're going through a big renovation, I think, for next season. So I'm happy to get this show in there. They've been slowly doing stuff, but I think they're going to shut it down for a while, really do some sick work in there. And so September 25th, I'll be there. ConstantineMaroulis.com. So many tour dates. Hopefully we can not be interrupted and keep rocking, but just happy to be going back to work, man. I'd love to be on Broadway. I'd love to be on a series that, you know, I can kind of like lock it up for a few months and know where I'm going to be. But you know how it is. We love the gypsy life too. Like, you know.
Yeah. If it was the same thing every single day for the rest of your life, it would be horrible. You gotta have that creative thing that happens when you step into new shoes. And when I say that, I mean like stepping into a new theater or stepping to a new audience in a different area. And I get it, man.
I know. And for you, like, it's, you know, a lot of our friends that have been on, you know, daytime, let's say, look, they're super talented and incredible, and it's hard to leave sometimes, you know, and that security is so nice, and knowing where you're going to be and hanging your hat on the same hook every night, going home to your family or your house is great. But sometimes you got to put yourself on the line, you know, and just go for it.
You got to challenge yourself. And I came across that recently about 5 years ago, and I said, I'm walking away from daytime. I'm walking away from the security because I have other ambitions. I have other things that I want to be achieving in my life. And unfortunately, I can't do that under a contractual situation. And so when I was like, you know what? I got to get out there. And I was turning 40. So I was like, hell, I gotta do it soon. we got time is against us. I got two more questions for you, Constantine. And one is one I ask everybody, of course. If you could take a ride in the Jacob Young time machine, what advice would you give 14-year-old Constantine?
You know, I feel like I got tied up in those kind of relationships, right, in my teens and 20s. And I feel like it scarred me a bit, you know? And I feel like, you know, look, the reality of you being with that person for the rest of your life is slim to none. We need life experiences. So I think looking back, like, I wish I could have like freed myself from really, like, I was torn up, you know. I was like this, I was reading, you know, Poe and Shakespeare, but like doing musical theater and sports and stuff. And I was like torn up on love and stuff like that. And I think that needs to happen. But I think if I could have like freed myself a little more easily from those kinds of codependencies, trend is dangerous for young people. And I see it. And now it's like, I feel like kids are like, well, I'll just kill myself. Fine. You know, and you're like, whoa, wait, okay, just wait a second. Whoa, what?
Yeah.
So I think they hear about it, they read about it, they see it, and then they just do it.
Yeah.
And so like, I remember having those thoughts, and I'm just talking off the cuff here, but if I can go back and be like, dude, no, go shoot some hoops, go hang out. There's plenty of girls out there, you know, go have college and experiences and go to New York. You don't need to be torn up on like teenage love, you know?
Yeah.
I think if I can go back and just be like, pump the brakes a little on that, focus on school a bit more, dig in, do all the work, because it goes so fast, bro. High school, poo, gone. College, gone. Boom.
20s, gone. And like 30s, gone. Yeah.
And then you're like, dude, all my friends, my bros. And like, you're like, oh, where are they? And now I'm different. Weirdly, I'm on like text threads with half my kindergarten class still. Like we're just like incestuous. We've maintained each other for just 100 years, but not everyone has that, you know? And it's like, they get married and they have like, you know, 200 college friends at their wedding. And then they just stop talking to those people within like 2 years.
Right after the wedding.
It's like, if you can have like a handful of good friends that love you for who you are, you're golden.
Yeah. So true. And such great advice, man. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Of course.
The last question I have is a question that I have been lucky to allow other people to ask, you know, or to answer these questions. Rather, Boys Town, who's my sponsor, inherited and created a motto that is a beautiful song. Of course, you know, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. And meaning at some point in our life, we've had somebody that has carried us. Who has carried Constantine?
You know, I didn't know that song until we did it on American Idol all those years ago. Desmond Child produced a version of it. And I was like, oh, my God, this is just like the most intense lyric. And I would internalize that. And it felt so real to me. You know, I was lucky enough to have my actual brother be such a mentor to me. He's 11 years older than me. He's a super accomplished artist and musician, Ethan Maroulis. If you look him up, he's done hundreds of records, very different world than me. A myriad of different jobs in the profession. And I just idolized him, you know, I idolized him, and we're so much alike as well. So I basically stole all his moves and got to do it on TV. And we're so close. We lost our first cousin in the World Trade Center, and it's intense to even think about 20 years later. And first cousins in the Greek world, like, you are all brothers. So it's so close, because it's like your mother's brother's son. And to have my actual brother there all along, and my sister who's between us, I'm so lucky. You know, we lost my dad some time ago, and you know, my mother's an older woman. I my parents were much older than my friend's parents. So to have my siblings so close, I'm lucky. And but I've had some great mentors along the way, great teachers, and some crappy ones too, but they made me better, you know? And but the ones that believed in me, and I've been getting a chance to do more mentoring and more coaching and more teaching, and I love it. You know, I know I can improve a kid, like, you know, in the room that day, I can make them better in different ways, you know? And so I'm grateful for that. But yeah, that's a great question. And thank you for that. But yeah, definitely my actual brother, Ethan Maroulis. Good guy.
Well, that's amazing. Thank you again for sharing that close and personal. Check out Ethan Maroulis. You're touring. Let everybody know where they can see all your dates of shows that are coming up.
Yeah, man. Old school. I'm still keeping the website updated all the time, ConstantineMaroulis.com. I'm supposed to do this film in the spring in Greece. I'm really excited about. And like I said, you know, I'm looking at some sort of Broadway type stuff for maybe next season. But I'm happy to just be doing dates, both with Foreigner's Journey, both with Constantine and the Frequency, or just solo, and everything's there. And I'd love to see your support, for sure. All of your listeners and your watchers and fans out there. But again, just support anyone you can right now. Lift people up around you. You know, go see a community theater show. You know, sometimes they're terrible, but it's awesome. You know, they'd love to see you there and have your support. And we forget, it's not just Broadway. It's college theater. It's community theater. It's touring shows. It's Vegas. It's all of those beautiful regional theaters across the world. It's obviously film, television, and everything in between. It's been just a domino effect of hurt. You know, the front of house people, the crew, the designers, the publicity people, all the place. It's a lot, man. So, you know, let's do what we can. And we're not all the way through this yet. So I lost a dear friend along the way, and it's very real. And, you know, that he and I share the same birthday. Tomorrow actually is our birthday. I'm not sure when this will post, but Nick Cordero, great actor, yeah, and dear friend of mine, and people read about his story, and his wife Amanda's now going to be on Dancing, which is cool. We're all rooting for her.
Yeah, she's done a lot of great stuff.
She has.
Yeah,
and lifting up his memory and stuff. So
yeah, it was a very tragic news of Nick's passing last year with this COVID, and man, life is short, right?
Exactly. You know, and this guy was a monster, you know, 6'5" monster. So, and whether it's COVID or something else, people go, I mean, look at Norm MacDonald, 61 years old, that guy. And wow, what an interesting, weird, just genius guy, you know, could never fit into anyone's box, and goes out with no noise, doesn't want to make a big deal out of it. I'm sick. I didn't even know he had cancer. Nobody knew. Nobody. I don't think his dear friends knew. And that tells you a lot about him. I would have been like, guys, I'm dying. I need a lot of attention right now. Please give it to me. And not him, you know? And again, like Amanda, the strength of Amanda going through that and the transparency of that, I would have been like shriveled up in the corner, like, it's over. I'm done. Pour some salt on me. So, you know, it's the strength of people, but yeah, it goes real quick, man. So let's have a good time and enjoy. Be good to each other. We're so divided. It sucks.
Yeah, it's not hard to be good to each other. We can absolutely compliment each other, and it's no harm or no problem, you know, to do that with, you know, you're not going to injure your knee saying thank you to somebody or
exactly.
You know, asking, you know, for help, or it's okay. People actually want to be able to give back. And, you know, it's weird. This is just one little quick thing. You know, I'm in the South now. I'm in South Carolina. I'm in Charleston. And everybody here says hello to each other. Everybody asks how you're doing. You go to Los Angeles. People like kind of like, you know, they'll actually sort of get out of your way if you say hello. They're like, why is this person saying hi to me?
Right.
What's wrong with this person? So it's not, it doesn't take much of your time to just give it a shot. And I told my buddy the other day, I said, you know what? I'm going to say hi to every son of a gun that's on this road today just to see their reaction. And I did.
It's crucial, man. And thank you for doing that. It's so easy. I remember I went to Jamaica some time ago and there was this beautiful mural written up and it said something like, you can cure any awkwardness with a smile or something like that. Like, you know, that sort of like, am I cool? So I try to walk around New York City and I get a little noticed and stuff, but I have my shades on, a hat, my hair back. People are kind of like, wait, who, what? But if you're just vibing and just smiling at everyone, and even to those people that maybe aren't used to getting smiled at, it's like a game changer where people are like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. New York, particularly LA, it's like industry. Like, wait, who are you? Are you famous? Who do you know? Like, who do you, what show are you?
Why are you here?
You on this? How many followers do you have? And it just sucks that that's like the only thing that matters there. Cause I love LA. It's like so beautiful. And like, look, I remember when I used to visit my brother there in like the '90s, or like, you know, it's in high school, and everyone used to drive like old cars because there's no rust out there. Like you could just have like a cool vintage, you know, car and for like a few $100 and people would just drive that. Now everyone's like trying to always impress and stuff. Right. So it's just, it's a bummer because, I'd love to be there more, on my grind, you know, and audition. Everything auditions here too, in New York and now virtually, but everyone's like, they're so intense about like, oh, that's right. That guy was on that soap, right? Are you doing anything now? Or do you not, you don't even act anymore? It's like, oh, because I'm not like on TV every single day. Like I'm just a loser now. Right. Yeah. So it's just like that tells me more about what's going on in their world than what's up in my world. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. That means they're pretty stagnant,
you know.
But one thing I have to say about you, though, is if anybody's lucky enough to meet you, because when I met you, you were an absolute light. You were a beacon, dude. And I felt immediately comfortable in front of you. You made me feel comfortable. And that's star power. That's the real stardust right there. When somebody can sprinkle that upon the crowds or the masses, you have that, brother. And I want to say thank you so much. I know you have a show you got to get to, but it's great to catch up with you today. Keep on rocking. And in the words of Journey, classic song, you never stop believing. So thank you for joining me today, brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Tired of the same old boring popcorn? Want to try something that's delicious and different? If you're like me, sometimes I like a little sweet and salty. Well, Snack Pops did it again with Candy Pop with M&Ms and Cookie Pop with Oreos. Make Candy Pop and Cookie Pop your family's go-to movie snack or enjoy on the go. One bite is never enough. Now available at Publix grocery stores, or simply go to snackpop.com and discover the entire line of these tasty popcorn treats. Lane Frostbrand is a proud sponsor of Real Conversations with Jacob Young, the comfortable, stylish, and unique clothing line that commemorates the life of world champion bull rider Lane Frost. Everything from hats to belt buckles. Be sure to check out the whole line of products for the entire family at lanefrost.com, the official shop of the legend for the champion in you.
I'd now like to bring on the manager of the Boys Town and my good friend from the national hotline and our resident professional, of course, Chris Hallstrom. I just recently saw you a week ago in person for the first time.
I know. Wasn't that awesome?
It was awesome. And we had lunch together.
Except that we had to wear a mask and...
Yeah, well, there are those protocols, but I still got a hug from you. I snuck it in.
I know. Yep, we did. That's good.
Well, I'm so glad that I had the opportunity. And to have Constantine Maroulis on the season 2, episode 40 of this sponsored podcast by Boys Town, of course, Your Life, Your Voice, was pretty amazing. Did you get anything from that conversation?
I loved listening to this, but I'm a big fan of American Idol from the very beginning. So as soon as you said who you were going to interview, I was very excited to hear this one. He had a lot of really good things to say in this interview. I think one of the things I was most impressed with was just, you know, he came in, what, sixth in American Idol. But, you know, you don't have to win in a competition like that to still have great success. And he talked about how in today's world, especially kids are so motivated by likes and that it's that instant gratification with social media. But you really have to work hard at your career. It's more than just posting something online. Success takes hard work. So and then to look at what he's all done since American Idol, he's been very successful. You don't have to win to be a winner, you know?
Yeah. I mean, think about it, though, too. We go back to the season that he was on. Of course, he was competing against Carrie Underwood. But not only that, there wasn't as much social media back then, right? It was really fighting for an honest memory. I think it was just text win to something. It was just texting.
You probably could only call or something.
Or call.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Right. There was barely Facebook, but there was definitely no Instagram. And there was, so he was really going against the odds. And when you think about a sixth place or fifth place or fourth place win against a first place win on those very early stages, they're all wins, aren't they?
Right. Right. Well, and the other thing he mentioned something about was that sometimes it's okay to sit in the background and watch other people and learn from them. And I think he was talking specifically about maybe when he was in high school and theater and how he learned from the people that were maybe the stars of the show. But it's the same thing with sports. You know, you don't have to be the starter of the team. If you're on the bench, you know, learn from your practices, learn from observation, learn from the game. Just watching the game from those people that are really skilled at it. And, you know, you don't have to be top all the time. So,
well, and not only that, you're learning so much from them on how to become the next winner.
Right. Yeah. And I think that you can certainly say he's had a lot of successes and he didn't need to win American Idol.
He definitely didn't need to win American Idol because he won America's hearts in Rock of Ages, which was by far one of my favorite musicals because it was the rock music that I grew up with, but all intertwined into a perfect love story. And that musical is, you know, you got the, you know, the, all those great rock bands and he covered all those great songs. And then was Tony nominated after walking away from a losing situation, as we could say, a losing situation, which is not a losing situation again.
Right.
It was just happened to be a different time. I don't know. I can't honestly think if he was to go out on American Idol today with the social media and be able to perform the way he did, I would say he would probably be much more closer to the very top. But with that being said, he was able to take those losses, which were wins. So I always tell all my young kids and all the kids out there, those are wins.
Right.
You know, you got there. You won. And then turn it into a Tony nomination.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. Yeah.
and then he turned it into more. But yeah, so what else did you gather from anything on your professional side about some of the things that Constantine Marulis said?
Well, the one thing, and I love when you ask the question, if they could hop on your time machine when they were 14, what advice would they give themselves? And this is actually one of those things I don't think you and I really have talked that much about, especially as it relates to teenagers and relationships. He talked about how he got too invested in romantic relationships, and when they broke up, he was I don't know what word he used, but I think he was mentioning teenage angst, I believe. But talked about how in today's world, so many kids, when a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever romantic relationship breaks up, how kids just are devastated and almost to the point where they are having thoughts of suicide because they can't see themselves separated from this person. So we talk a lot to kids at the hotline through Your Life, Your Voice about that very thing. And actually use the analogy of a puzzle. And if you were to mix two people's puzzle pieces all together, they may interlock, but they don't really make a clear picture. And then to try and separate those two boxes of puzzles apart again, it just gets really messy. So keep yourself, value yourself separately. It's okay to have close relationships, but like you said, you know, the likelihood that you're going to marry somebody that you're dating in high school is not very big. So don't search for other people to like fill your puzzle in, you know, be your own, make your own picture, make your own self, find ways to incorporate those relationships into your life, but they shouldn't become so all consuming that you lose sense of self.
Okay. So with that, how can one find their sense of self? Are there some steps that we can figure out how to get to those scenarios that instead of us putting all of our assets into one person or that puzzle that just doesn't seem to fit, is there a way that, or advice that you would recommend to find that person's self?
Well, one thing is keeping your own interests and valuing yourself. Sometimes people like give up all their own interests. They completely get enmeshed in this person, and that's kind of all they think and talk about. Especially with kids, we always say, you know, have relationships with your other friends as well as this person. Everything doesn't have to be connected together. So maintain those relationships with other people. Maybe limit the amount of time. Sometimes it's really good for kids even just to say, okay, I'm only gonna go out on a date or whatever with this person once a week. We'll talk on the phone X amount of nights. And as a parent, you kind of have to help them foster that too, that independence rather than dependence, because it is so hard. Kids are looking for a sense of self anyway and try to identify who they are as people. And when those two things get mixed up, it's very confusing. Well, the kids feel lost.
They say, mom and dad, I can go out Friday night from 5 to 12 o'clock because I know who I am. But you're like going, no, but I know who you are.
Right.
And it's only going to be from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And then you have to be home by that point.
Right.
But they feel already that independence, and they feel that they're already their own adult, and we have to figure out that solution.
And kind of another analogy too, is if you think about a glass, and if that glass that represents a kid and they fill their entire glass up with that relationship, they don't have room for anything else. Mm. So as parents, like, how do we make ourselves part of the liquid in that glass? How do we make sure that friends are part of the liquid in that glass, or other interests, hobbies, activities? because you don't want to see a kid whose entire cup is filled with a relationship.
It's overflowing. It's just, right. There's no room for anybody else. It's just
right.
Everything they're consumed about is that one thing or those right. two or three things.
Right.
Which would that recognize as something that's probably happening at the home life? If a cup was overflowing
sometimes,
too much?
Yeah, sometimes. And I think that's where parents should never underestimate how important they are to helping fill up a kid's cup. Because sometimes we think, oh, you know, we need to back away. We need to let them have their independence. But truly, as a parent, you want to help keep that cup full with family activities and family discussions, family time. That's so important. Traditions, the connection within the family. And as kids get older, you reduce the amount of liquid you take up in that cup. But you can't just drop yourself down to nothing and let other people and other things fill your kid's cup up.
Two things that a parent could do to help fill that cup.
Family time. I remember thinking when my kids got older that they would be less reliant and they wouldn't need me around as much. When my kids got to be teenagers, they wanted me around for very specific times and very specific reasons. And, you know, sitting down, they knew the schedule. They knew when I would be around. I had to make it a point sometimes to set my things aside. I love to read. Like, okay, they want to talk right now. Set it down, set your book down, and make sure that you're having conversations with them. You know, and it, ask them about their day, but ask direct comments. Sometimes as parents, you ask really general, how was your day?
Yeah, how were you at school today?
Yeah.
Was it fun?
You don't get much. Yeah.
Was it a bad day?
Yeah. You don't get much.
You're not going to get anything out of it. Yeah. They're like, yeah, it was normal.
Yeah. Ask different kinds of questions, you know, that get kids to talk about it a little bit more.
No, I'm always like that. Cause my kids give me that generic answer. They go, yeah, dad, it was fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you mean fine? Like what happened? What was the best part of your day today?
Yeah, and that's a good way to ask it. Yep.
Yeah, they'll be like, well, it was lunch. I'm like, no, that's not an answer. Give me something else. Everybody's best part of the day is lunch. We all know that. Give me another part of the day that's better than lunch.
Right. And even what was the worst part of your day? It's good to ask kids that kind of thing, too. But yeah, we as parents really have to make sure that we're keeping some sort of level within that cup so they're not filling that cup with all sorts of other
junk.
Stuff.
And like the junk on the outside.
Exactly.
That infiltrates in their lives. Said,
yeah. Yeah. It's very easy to get so dependent on some of those relationships.
Oh, I remember crying coming home after a breakup.
Yeah.
I was destroyed. I remember my stepmom holding me in her arms and I thought I was never going to recover.
I know.
Because I'd fallen so in love.
Yes.
And it was heartbreaking. And I remember that first breakup and how bad that felt. And I thought I would never recover from that.
I know.
And then, two days later, I recovered from it.
Yeah. And then there was somebody else. You know, we do have a tip on Your Life, Your Voice too, specifically for kids relating to romantic relationships and breakups. And it's called shoebox therapy. And what kids can do is they can take mementos of their relationship, whether it's a photo, some ticket, or, you know, something that person gave you, just put it in. We say shoebox, whatever you want to put it in, a letter, whatever. And allow yourself maybe 15 minutes a day to pull that box out. Play some, you know, special song that reminds you of that person, whatever. Allow yourself to cry for 15 minutes, then put that box away, put it back on the shelf and walk away. Because one of the things that's such a challenge with kids, they feel it so deeply and they feel it 24/7. So if kids can allow themselves some time to grieve, work their way through it, and then allow themselves to be able to walk away from it and not feel like they have to be sad and crying 24/7. It really is a good technique.
So to put it in its space, basically.
Right. So we're not having to feel the feeling all the time.
Yeah. So you know it's there. It exists. It's something you can open. It's something you can see. It's tangible. It's something you can close to your heart.
Right.
And then close the box, walk away after you have your time, but know that it's always there.
Right. And you don't have to feel that devastated all the time. And I think that's one of those things where, like, again, like Constantine kind of alluded to, kids turning to suicide when things don't work out in a relationship. It kind of gives you a little bit of a sense of control when you handle things that way. So, and we talk to people about using that for romantic relationships. If somebody close to them passes away, or if they move or something like that, again, it's just a it's kind of your little grief box. You deal with it for as long as you want during the day, then put the lid on it and walk away from it. So,
well, that is some great advice. It's almost like if I was that age, I think I probably would at some point probably. And I hope this doesn't sound weird, but, you know, if I had gotten over that situation, is it okay to get rid of that box?
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it's kind of amusing, like years later, to go back and look at it. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But again, like, every
this was my everything. And yes. Now it is a nothing thing.
Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes that's okay for, especially for kids, to go back and look and see, wow, you know, I've made some great strides since then. I've learned a lot since then. And I think if, as a parent, you help kids keep those relationships in perspective, that this may not be somebody that you're going to end up marrying someday, but you're going to learn from this relationship, the things you like and the things you don't like. Getting kids to analyze and think of it differently outside of those feelings sometimes is helpful too. So,
yeah. And Constantine has definitely gone through that the last year with his going through a divorce and taking care of his daughter and having that relationship. He's definitely gone through a lot of those things. And it seems like he's really figuring out those right. obstacles. And he shared with us those personal, intimate details. And of course,
and now the focus is his daughter. So that's cool.
Yeah. And he's turned it into a positive.
Right.
So thank you so much, Chris, again, for your words of wisdom, as always. I love taking a look inside of what you get to deal with on a daily basis, as far as your compassion for others and how you solve problems for so many, many people.
Well, it's always fun to listen to the people you talk to. And, you know, you realize we're all people. We're all the same.
We sure are.
You know, with those kind of situations, and we all need to learn to be able to work through those issues sometimes separately and sometimes together. So
we do. I still put my underwear on the same leg, the same way. Exactly. Thank you so much, Chris. That's about all the time that we have for today. But Real Conversations with Jacob Young, the mental health podcast, is sponsored by Boys Town. And at Boys Town, their slogan is, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." And for over 100 years, Boys Town has been saving children, healing families. They're only one call away, and they're always there to help. Please go to boystown.org for all the details on how to access Boys Town's health services, or simply go to yourlifeyourvoice.org. If you are in crisis or need immediate help, please call the trained counselors at the Boys Town National Hotline at 800-448-3000, or text VOICE to 20121. Thanks for joining me on Real Conversations. I'm Jacob Young. Till next time, love yourself and love each other.